I'm calling the afternoon session to order. Please be seated. I'd like to remind everyone that if you are parked in the parking garage, make sure you pick up one of these yellow tickets so you get out of the garage this afternoon. I would also like to remind everyone that if you would like to make a comment or raise a question or make a motion, to please state your name and campus clearly and loudly so that your name may be recorded for the minutes. First item on the agenda for today is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of November 6th. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second? Who made the motion? Tom did. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes as distributed, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the reports from the standing committees, and we begin with the rights and responsibilities. Who's presenting that today?
Jason Holt, USC Lancaster. The Rights and Responsibilities Committee met, and our first item of the day was the election of a new chair. The committee voted to elect myself, Jason Holt from USC Lancaster, to serve in out the remaining term. We discussed and have now a working draft of a mid-year hire timeline. We're going to be sending that out to various individuals, including the provost's office, to kind of gather feedback on the timeline itself, the dates in that document. And we anticipate having a motion ready to present at the next meeting. We also talked about the addition of the plus-minus grade system. We'll be talking to our individual faculties, gathering input there, suggestions, concerns, and we'll bring that back with you to inform you in the next meeting. And that is my report. Any questions?
Thank you, Professor Holt. Next committee is the Welfare Committee, Professor Ray Maness.
You made me Greek or something, you know.
McManus.
All right. I missed you guys. Since y'all didn't hear any reports from me at all last semester, I'm going to talk twice as long this afternoon. Is that cool? The TMP workshop, we had that in, January 15th. It was great, great success. I'd like to thank everybody on the Welfare Committee, all the administrators and faculty that participated, lent in their expertise in that. The survey results were good. In fact, the survey results were great, but we always look for areas to improve and want to make the committee, workshop a little bit better each year, so that's the constant mission with that. But thank you all for attending, and hope that you will continue to attend. The next one will be held at some point in January 2017. Faculty survey is still out there. In fact, we decided we will keep it open just a little bit longer. I'm going to keep it open until about February 26, I believe that's right. Please, if you have not done so, please pop over, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time to do the survey. Communicate with faculty on campus to encourage them to also do the survey. It's an important thing. I know that just from our end, sometimes we might hear, I don't know, I've been doing surveys for years. Maybe I don't see a whole lot of change, or I don't know if this does any good. It does a lot of good, actually. In fact, in just the past year and a half, we've seen, I won't go so far to say significant changes, but changes certainly in the right direction. Definitely has the attention of the chancellor, has the attention of the deans on campus. It's important that we continue with our voices. And that I do firmly believe that the more we do that, the more we commit to that, the more opportunities we have to actually hopefully change things for the better for all of us. Last but not least, the awards, which is sort of our third charge. The Chris Plyler Award this year was the first year doing it. We had great response. I'll be announcing all the nominees for that in our next Senate meeting when we actually announce the award, as well as the Duffy Award for teaching. Be doing the same thing. Both the awards will be announced the next Senate meeting. Also in the next Senate meeting, the chair of the Research and Productive Scholars Committee will be announcing the guidelines for the Denise R. Shaw Award in excellence for Excellence in Scholarship, which will be a new award starting next academic year. So by my math, I believe that means that now Welfare Committee will have three awards that will come through the committee. So as a result, the committee today talked about the possibility of creating two small ad hoc committees that will be able to assist, one in the teaching, ad hoc, I don't know what we'll call it yet, but to assist with the Duffy Award, as well as one that will assist with the Plyler Award. The idea would be that the ad hoc committee would distribute the guidelines, would receive the files, would vote and get three finalists. Those three finalists then would go to the Welfare Committee for the Welfare Committee to vote. The only reason why we were hoping to do something like this really follows the model that we'll be using with Research and Productive Scholarship. They will submit the awards, submit the guidelines, they will receive the applications, that committee will vote and will send three finalists to the Welfare. We think that it adds transparency to the award selection process, as well as includes, you know, members throughout our campuses, as well as in the Senate. Are there any questions? Awesome.
McManus out.
Thank you, Ray. Next report comes from Systems Affairs, Professor Kajal Grossroy.
Thanks, Andy. System Affairs had four different items to consider today. First was the associate degree in business proposed for USC Sumter, minus grading, which USC Columbia wants us to consider, POM 495, a service learning course, and RCAM courses. First, the degree. Associate degree in business, a proposal to extend the existing associate degree in business at Lancaster as a new degree at Sumter was submitted to System Affairs Committee in fall, and at the November 6th meeting, we requested administration to look into that, and I have a memo from Chris Nesmith submitted to System Affairs, which states that on January 13th, people met, namely David Hunter, Chris Nesmith, Elliot Vitis, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Helen Doppinghouse, Finnegan Miles, and to discuss this motion and a possible way to forward to implement it. There was a frank and in-depth discussion about the issue and about the various governing bodies that are involved both within the university and beyond it, such as CHE, SACS, especially. We are still pursuing, this is, again, Dr. Nesmith's verbiage, what options may be available to us to allow for offering any approved degree programs on all campuses, and we'll work on this effort in coordination with Faculty Senate Chair Henny. So the committee discussed this at length and is requesting clarification on the length of time for which, you know, no new degrees or extension of degrees might be allowed at from one campus to another, and we are requesting Dr. Nesmith to give us a little bit more clarification. Next item we discussed was minus grading. This has been sent to us from USC Columbia Senate, and the committee discussed at length that there is no detailed grade equivalency sent to the committee. So we have no way of knowing what exact equivalencies they're proposing. So we reviewed their survey and we reviewed their survey results, and we came to the consensus that we will send out our survey. It'll be slightly modified based on their survey. It'll have majority of the questions from their survey, but it'll have additional questions at the end with models that we will get our opinion on. So the survey will be developed, hopefully with help of Jean, and please respond when it does come around. It's an important issue that Columbia, you know, amazingly has asked our input in it. This is our chance to respond, so please do respond to that survey. The third item on our table was POM 495, and the committee received a memo again from Dr. Nesmith stating that these two courses, POM 494 and POM 495, serve as equivalents. And here is the verbiage of the proposal, and the committee supports this proposal. I'll let you read it a little. And the last item on our table was the RCAM courses. And we received back response from Dr. Nesmith. The committee had asked clarification on RCAM courses, POM courses, and UCAM courses. And Dr. Nesmith clarified to the committee that these are the following RCAM courses that are in our books now. There are two UCAM courses, and there are three POM courses. There are also courses in each of our following campuses where some of these courses are obsolete and are no longer in use. It seemed to the committee that RCAM 104, RCAM 106, and RCAM 201 probably could benefit from consideration. So we are asking our senators to take back to their campus a consideration for these three courses, RCAM 104, RCAM 106, and RCAM 201. Excuse me. And please get back to your representatives on system affairs if you want these courses deleted or continued on the books. System Affairs also proposes that instead of having RCAM, UCAM, and POM courses as three different designators, they all be combined into a PCAL designation. They toyed with the idea of PCAM versus PCAL, and that it be exclusively reserved for us, Palmetto College. So we request that this be communicated to the registrar. And with that, I end my report. Anybody have any questions? No? Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. Next, we'll hear a report from the Executive Committee. Professor Chris Bundrick is going to give that report.
Just a few quick notes. Executive Committee met this afternoon and discussed a number of things, including the two motions that we have coming up under old business, which obviously will be something we talk about in a little bit. Perhaps more importantly, we discussed issues surrounding the nominating committee. The vice chair is, by definition, the chair of the nominating committee, and is looking for representatives from Lancaster, Sumter, and Salk campuses. The purpose of this committee, for anyone who's unclear on that, are sort of twofold. First, to sort of go back to their local campuses and recruit from the ranks of standing senators members who would be willing to run for one of the offices involving executive committee for next year, and then as a group to take those potential nominees and build a slate. The purpose of that, of course, is to balance the slate in such a way as to balance the representation on executive committee the way that it's defined in the current manual. One of those motions that is coming up under old business, of course, might discuss ways to change that balance, but for the moment, we still operate under the current manual. We also discussed a request from the provost's office to have the Senate look at some language in our current manual surrounding the issue of summer compensation, and we're going to charge welfare to look into that in a bit. So Ray, when he comes back, oh, there you are. We'll have something for you. We also discussed the Senate orientation, which is going to be a new feature of Senate life starting in the fall. I'll be trying to organize that, but I think we all know that the truth is that Jean will just give me the credit for organizing it once she's done. And finally, we discussed our plans to invite the provost to the next executive committee meeting so that we can address a few issues having to do with organization and governance that we think that she might be able to help us out with, and we might be able to help her out with. Those are the points I have. Barring questions, I'll end there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Next report comes from the Palmetto College campus's faculty manual liaison officer, Andy Yingst.
We have the two motions from executive committee coming under unfinished business today. Listening to the reports from the standing committees, it sounds like there are no other changes to the manual in the pipeline. So I'm going to assume that whatever we voted on today will be it for changes for the spring semester, and that'll be the draft that we start sending up on its long process towards the Board of Trustees for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy, for that report. Next come the reports from the special committees. First special committee is the Committee on Libraries. Professor Rebecca Freeman, do you have a report? No report. Committee on Curriculum and Courses, Professor Castleberry.
Hello. The Courses and Curriculum Committee has met twice since my last report to you. Because proposals are now exclusively processed electronically, the committee currently does most of its work by email. Suggested changes to the curriculum should be available for general inspection on the provost's webpage on program proposals. So basically, periodically I will go to that page and see what has been proposed. You also should have the ability to do that so that you can keep up with the stuff that's in the works. Any kind of change anywhere will go through that, not just changes going through courses and curriculum. So there are, for example, courses that may be offered eventually as distance education courses, which will go through there before they come to the committee that I'm on. Same thing with Carolina Core approvals. So again, that was the provost webpage on program proposals. In addition, I remind you that interested individuals should check the USC faculty webpage for reports on the Senate's actions on the committee's recommendations. Because of some of the weather events, final Senate action on some of the curriculum proposals I have already discussed with you were delayed from the last meeting to the upcoming meeting. Since proposals are now processed electronically, I no longer get paper copies to peruse, nor do I get any written agenda listing proposals requiring review. Basically, I just periodically review the web page of the provost. The committee only meets face-to-face when a committee member requests extended discussion on a proposal with a representative of the college or school, or as we did earlier this week, discuss policy matters. What this means is that I now seldom send out general reports to campus contact people. There's really nothing concrete that I can communicate. I will, however, continue to send out heads up if I believe that a proposal might need to be addressed by our campuses, and those would go to the contact people on each of the campuses. For what it is worth, we approved a few more new courses for the Senate's consideration in our last virtual meeting. Among those courses were two 200-level anthropology courses, one on drinking in culture, and another on forbidden archaeology. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Castleberry. Next is the Committee on Welfare, Faculty Welfare. Professor Shelley Jones, I believe Melody Lane is going to present that report.
In its November meeting, the Columbia Faculty Welfare Committee explored new ways to foster collegiality among faculty on Columbia's campus, including hosting monthly lunches at Preston, and perhaps most pertinent to our faculty, they discussed the recent formation of a Columbia Faculty Senate Standing Subcommittee, which is called the Information Technology Committee, to navigate faculty issues with technology services, including but not limited to banner, Wi-Fi upgrades, classroom enhancements, and data storage. CFWC reconvened in January to meet with the new provost, Joan Gable. The topics they discussed in that meeting included an increase in the faculty staff dependent scholarship fund, as well as ways to improve faculty morale, including support from the provost's office in organizing events and activities in the upcoming year that will bring together the faculty. The committee has confirmed that this scholarship fund has increased from $1,500 to $2,000 per year and is also set to increase incrementally $2,500 and eventually $3,000 the next year. There is a link here where you can read more about the Information Technology Standing Committee, which will be appendixed in the minutes, or you can email Dr. Jones directly. That concludes the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Lane. Next report comes from the Board of Trustees Liaison Committee, and it would normally come from me. I've also checked with Dr. Elkins, and the trustees have not yet met, so there's no report from that committee at this time. Research and Productive Scholarship Committee, Professor Jones.
The Research and Productive Scholarship Committee have been working on two things. One of them was mentioned by Dr. McManus before, which is to act as the committee for the intake of the files for the Shaw Award, and we'll be announcing the guidelines for that at the next Senate meeting so that people can begin working on files over the summer to start it next year, and Dr. McManus spoke about that in more detail. The other thing has been the faculty research webpage, and here's the mouse. And we actually have it up. It's designed to be easily accessible and actually to be editable on mobile devices, so it even looks prettier on your phone than this. If you did want to go to it, it's blogs.pc.se.edu/RPS and then / again, and I'll have that as part of the minutes, that webpage. But I just want to show it to you really quickly. In order for this to be optimized and really the most use to us, we need more faculty scholarship profiles up. I want to show you a couple that people have already done to give you an idea of what it looks like, and also to say that the process is really easy. You contact Bob Dyer. You say that you'd like to create a faculty page. I talked about this early on, and some people are actually in the process of working on it. There are far more people who are at different stages of building theirs than are actually on here. I'm going to go on here and click to bring it up. But I just have these open because they're complete and they're representative of what can be done. It's the instructions, I worked on it with Bob, the language is clear, they're really easy to follow, and it's also built off of a template, so really just have to plug in information. I think people who are here can testify it's not that hard. It takes a little bit of work to do it. I'm gonna click on Dr. McManus's here, but it looks pretty. And then over here, you know, you have the website looks pretty, is what, sorry, it's, you're right. It's pretty, yeah. Pretty website, yeah. And areas of research, publications, in the news, and then some people will post a CV up there. It's also really easy to put in a Word doc and be able to get it to instantly translate into to language in the field itself. And then he has an in the news up here. You can navigate back home. Let me go to one more just so you can see. I think we know Lee Kai's up here. Under chemistry, and so again, it looks good. You have as much space as you need. That's actually one of the reasons we chose this format for it. Areas of research, it's really easy to embed images in there. If you don't want to, of course, it can be text only. Publications and news. We can even add other sections, but we did want to sort of leave it so that they were all the same, and you can link into other pages as you want to send us back there. I'm just going to read this off, and then I want to mention a couple more things before I move on. So welcome to the research and scholarship website for Palmetto College faculty. The site will act as a tool for networking and sharing research and scholarship scholarly activities, which is only really possible once we get a bigger core group of people with pages on there. What we're going to try to do is actually provide, because you can subscribe to this through RSS feed, to be able to subscribe to individual academic sections, and people can be under multiple headings. We can just list the links under multiple headings. And when something comes up, even something as simple as, I'm going to put into this conference, it's in such and such place, would you like to, anybody else want to do it too? We could get a hotel room, you know, we could coordinate to things that are much larger, you know, looking towards innovation grants. There's whole sections given over to multiple people in different campuses, multiple campuses working together. And ideally, that's what we'd like to do. But we need a bigger core group of people there to really make it work for it. On the main page, we'll feature, this is just the announcement. Now at the bottom, it says, this online resource maintained by the committee. Please contact your campus representative on the committee with any ideas for featured faculty research or advice. They'll appear on the main page if it's advice about grant writing that's been produced by the library. That's actually the first thing that's going to come up. Thomas Cooper Library's got a really good resource on grant writing. Then it'll be archived under there. So they'll be on the page for a while. They'll move back there. If you're subscribing to the RSS feed, you'll see when there are new things that have been posted. And that's how we want to work with it. The one thing I won't click on just to make it shorter is the calendar feature. If you've been to the calendar before, there's a drop-down menu. There's all of the things listed for Palmetto College. You can drop down to individual campuses. There's going to be a drop-down to isolate the ones for research and scholarship, too, for upcoming deadlines for things like grants. And so moving forward for our committee, it's the work of the Shaw Award and then the intake for that and moving it up to the Welfare Committee for decisions moving on, and then the maintenance and development of this website as a tool for networking, ideally. That's sort of what we're moving for, not just a repository for information or a clearinghouse for things that might be pertinent, but for a way for people to connect and to boast about what they're working on under the featured research section. So any questions? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Professor Jones. Palmetto College Campus's Academic Advisory Council, Professor Chris Nesbitt.
Good afternoon again. A very short report. As Professor Goshroy mentioned, the Palmetto College's Faculty Academic Advisory Committee met via email recently and sent forward a recommendation that Palm 495 service learning should be included in the major course as a major course option as an equivalent to Palm 494 internship for both the Liberal Studies and Organizational Leadership degree programs. That's the only time we've met this year. We anticipate meeting again sometime in the near future. That's my report.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Professor Nesbitt. Other committees, we have the Conflict of Interest Committee. We're going to email that Professor Bohanek is not going to be here today, but she also said that they had not yet met as a committee and there's no report. Provost Advisory Committee, Sarah Miller. Professor Miller? No report? Thank you. That takes us to unfinished business. We have two motions that we carry over from last meeting we had. First one comes from the Executive Committee regarding the timely publication of substantive motions. Chris, you going to present that?
So this is the second time around on this motion. We presented it at the meeting before this one. It's a relatively small, I think, change to the currently standing timely publication rule. just to kind of read over what we have here, the motion clarifies the implementation of the previous timely publication of substantive motion rules. Under the current bylaws, the only requirement for substantive matters to be voted on is that they appear in, sorry, I think that's a typo, it should be the current agenda, I believe. Is that, am I misremembering that? Yeah, there's a typo, sorry. That should read that they appear in the current agenda. This motion further additionally requires that substantive motions not be voted on unless presented at a prior meeting, making explicit what has been only traditional up until now, and to be published on the Palmetto College campus's faculty senate website within 14 calendar days of that initial presentation.
Any discussion?
Do we? yeah, that's right. That should be what has been. Sorry.
Short of those two typographical corrections, is any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Not opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Second motion also came from the Executive Committee regarding the clarification of the election process. Who's presenting that?
While Andy makes his way down here, I'll give a quick overview. This is kind of a large, it's kind of a large motion that that essentially does three things, I think, and then I'll let Andy talk about it in detail. it clarifies the sort of procedure in terms of nominating the slate for officers in the Senate. It also offers a kind of alternative version of the balance that I mentioned earlier when I was giving the Executive Committee report, the balance of representation across campuses, and make some less substantive changes in wording. For instance, changing the title we now have as vice chair to the perhaps more appropriate chair-elect, and a couple of other small things along the way. It also adjusts. It also changes the way that we vote, requiring a ballot vote when we have elections. But I'll let Andy talk about the details.
I was asked to clarify what exactly is the problem that this motion fixes. There's a lot of the small things, I think, are not really very interesting conversations. Chair-elect is a better word for vice-chair since it is the same position you are elected to. We forgot to ever say when the faculty manual liaison officer is elected. But the big thing is the current rules say we elect a secretary, we elect all those positions. They also say that there must be people from different campuses in those positions. So these two things conflict with each other. What happens if a person from Sumter gets the most votes for secretary and also a person from Sumter gets the most votes for vice chair, or chair-elect, I suppose now? Not that that would happen, not that that ever does happen, but what do we do? If the rule is they're both allowed to serve, well, that fixes, this is the fix to that, that says the other campuses, well, whatever campus is not represented becomes, gets to elect an extra member at large. If the rule is that they don't, if that happened and we decided that they wouldn't be allowed to do that, then the key thing is that's not an election. Like, we need to stop using the word election and start to specify what would happen. And I don't know what would happen then. It's a problem that I think sort of needs fundamental clarification before it is a problem. So this is the thing the executive committee came up with, is to allow that to happen and also make sure that all campuses are represented. I imagine that what would happen in the future is we'll keep doing it the way we do it, but we will know what would happen if one campus got more votes. Yeah, that is all. No. It's the same thing that's been on the page for a month. I guess we go to discussion.
Yes, any discussion of this motion? Any questions? Any clarification?
Where? Okay. I gotta write that down.
Hearing no further discussion, so if you vote, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
As opposed to all, you want to do that by raising the hands. All in favor say aye, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All opposed? 8 hands, if I've gone
correctly,
so there's no 10.
I guess I don't need to fix that.
Anyone to clarify? Is there any new business? Hearing none, are there any announcements for the good of the order, or for the good of the campuses, or for the good of Palmetto College?
I believe that we need to vote on the approval for the Palmetto, the curriculum change with respect to Palmetto College, so that that can go forward to courses in curriculum. What was announced earlier was just an announcement.
Okay, is that a motion?
It came from the committee.
Which committee came to the council?
It's under the desert.
Two things. One is the first item, basically we need to act on the system of affairs or whatever we mean. One was the proposed change to the curriculum, which would allow Palmetto 495 to substitute for 494. I believe we need to approve that, and then it can go to Columbia's Courses and Curriculum Commission.
Is that your motion?
It came from the committee.
But it was not presented as a motion.
Who's
going to make that motion?
I will make that motion.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there a second?
One second.
That's a second. Is there any discussion?
Bundrick Lancaster, can we get that maybe back up on the screen so everyone knows what we're talking about for sure?
That's it.
Summarize it very quickly if you would care.
Pat Saucier from Extended University. It's just
it's
a proposal that that service learning that's conducted be equivalent to an internship, and that people be allowed to take either an internship 494 or 495 service learning.
Thank you, Patrick. It's not a substitution, it's an equivalency.
It's current 494 is the current requirement in internship, and we want to have the alternative service learning available, which is as rigorous as the internship. We have a syllabus available. It's as rigorous as the internship.
Any further discussions, questions, or clarification?
Funder Klingster again, sorry. I'm not asking this because I have any objection to this, but I just want to make sure that I understand what's going on. Did the committee not intend to bring this as a motion for any particular reason?
No, we are bringing it as a motion. Right.
Well, no. Castleberry is bringing it as a
motion. But that's only because it got confused with what was doing. It is a motion.
Okay, committee. The committee did intend to bring this
forward.
Yes.
Thank you. No further discussion. Move your vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Was there a need for a second motion?
Yes. I also consider that we made a motion that would suggest that this body agree to request the registrar approve, reserve for us the P call, the infamous P call designated.
It comes from committee.
Somebody needs to make a
no, the committee's making
it. I will present it as a motion. So System Affairs then presents a motion that requests UCAM, RCAM, and PCAM courses now be considered under a common designation of PCAL.
Basically, I believe what we agreed to was that we would try to reserve the designator first. And then next time, we'll make all the substitutions.
All right, scratch the last verbiage, please. So at this point in time, System Affairs is requesting that the PCAL designator become a Palmetto College exclusive designator, and it be reserved for us and so be communicated to the registrar.
That motion comes from the committee. Does not require a second. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, we go to the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Hearing none opposed, and the motion is passed. Any other motions or presentations? Anyone? Any announcements? Anything we all should know? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Biggs Linkster. Motion to adjourn.
Second, not approved. All the great people, thank you.